opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Again, it is Sunday. Today is December 21st, and I am Mark Kent, and I am your host. We'd like to thank all the people that support us in the North State. And I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our studio operator, Bob Martin, trusted producer, soundboard, all-around great guy. How you doing today, Bob?
Great, Mark. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you and Linda.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we've only got 5 days to Christmas. It's December 21st.
I have 4 days.
Well, okay, 4 days.
4 days.
4 days. It seems like a
3 days and a wake up.
No, it seems like it's been a century since December started. Yeah, it's been a long, long month so far. A lot of stuff going on. I think I'm pretty much all ready. Got a couple of leftover presents to get, and that's about
it. No, I've got a lot to do yet, but hey, well, that's the way it is.
That's because you're a slacker.
Yeah, that's it.
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 Bonnyview, South Bonnyview at Destiny Fellowship. I have no idea what's going on Monday. Maybe somebody will let us know.
I believe we're showing a movie, but I'm not sure on that one.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm sure somebody will let us know, yeah. Or we'll find out before the show's over. Tea Party meets every Monday night, and it stands for Limited Government, Fiscal Responsibility, Adherence to the Constitution. Is anybody out there starting to figure out that that's the answer? How's it going? How's this working out, this centralized top-down dictatorship crap going? You know, I mean, how's that working out there? You know, we got the liar and thief, the commander-in-chief, and he's doing pretty well these days, huh? Well, let's see. We get cyber-attacked by somebody, which I'm not even sure we got cyber-attacked by somebody. At this point in time, I wouldn't be surprised if we got cyber-attacked by our own government.
Exactly. So they made it up so that they can cause all the ruckus.
And would the media report that? No. Yeah, I mean, there's so in the tank, it's unbelievable. Also, we would like to let you know that you just listened to the Jefferson State of Mind, and that's every Sunday morning now at 8 a.m., and then we come on at 9 to 11, and then we've got a new show coming in here, don't we, Bob, at 11 to 12?
11 to 12 today, that's the plan. It's called All In, and it's hosted by Patrick Jones, among others.
All In. Hey, I like it. Perfect.
Yeah.
So we'll have to stay tuned for that and see how they what they're going to talk about, what their conversations are. And so we want
to guns and more guns, I think, is some of it.
I like guns.
Patrick will be the latest politician turned talk show host.
Yeah, as opposed to the latest politician turned turncoat. I guess you have to get elected to be a turncoat. Because, well, maybe not. You can get out of there and be a turncoat. Or maybe you're just a turncoat before you got there. Anyway, Patrick's one of the good guys. And
He always has a bunch of information and good updates for us for Second Amendment items.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm sure there's some new stuff on the horizon. I've heard as far as that goes, as far as...
Well, I think yesterday was the last day that you could purchase certain handguns because of the 10-day waiting period in the new year. so many of them we can't get anymore in California.
We'll have to get an update on that from Patrick there. Okay, so the quote of the day is, I must study politics and war that my sons may have liberty to study mathematics and philosophy. That was John Adams during the war when the French asked him, why are you so worried about why aren't you worried about the finer things in life instead of all the stuff, and you're so serious? And basically, you know, he was in the French court and he was telling them, you guys don't get it, you know, we're being oppressed. The elitist over there in the French were still, you know, still hadn't caught up with the French Revolution at that point, you know, Robespierre,
right,
everybody chop your head off type stuff. So anyway, so that's kind of full circle.
I was going to say, do we kind of see that going on nowadays? I mean, you know.
Now we got to study the government so we know what the heck's going on with them, because they are so screwed up and they quit following the Constitution and our liberty is at risk. It's kind of not a good deal. So anyway, I'm looking at the second quote from Thomas Jefferson here that I always have on all my stationery and so forth. The two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution, so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. Wow.
Right.
That's where we are.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It is just absolutely amazing
that they had that insight so long ago and tried to give us that knowledge and the information so we knew.
Well, we're setting up a political dictatorship monarchy. You know, I'm looking at the weekly update here from Judicial Watch. This is Tom Fenton, the guys that have been just pulling stuff out through the Freedom of Information Act. We still have a semblance of the rule of law, but it's getting shredded almost daily from this administration. And, you know, the first title on his weekly update is President's political junkets continue unabated. It's just amazing. This guy just keeps spending money on, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers here. Let's see. According to new release records that Judicial Watch obtained, transportation for Obama to Los Angeles, California on October 9th, 2014 for the Paltrow fundraiser. That would be, what's her name? Gwyneth, I mean, what do you read? I'm going to read a quote from her. What an absolute, jaw-dropping moron, in my opinion. Her fundraiser, the cost to the taxpayer was $1 million and some change for transportation from Obama to San Francisco. And the additional fundraiser, another $165,000, you know. You know, it's just unbelievable that this guy can, you know, he just spend. And then here's the quote from Paltrow. You know, while Obama benefits financially from the allure of Hollywood, some of the comments made by his host proved to be a little more embarrassing. Paltrow showed an apparent disregard, or perhaps a lack of understanding would be my guess, for the constitutional separation of powers when at one point she gushed, "It would be wonderful if we were able to give this man all of the power that he needs to pass all of the things that he needs to pass." Really? It's like unbelievable. I mean, you know, this guy's just a card short of a Castro deck of cards, you know. I mean, and we'll talk about Cuba a little bit as well. But, this guy's not that far off, you know, and you know, treason. You know, nobody wants to say it on the media, but the real deal is, that's what we're talking about here. He's not faithfully executing his office. There's so many things that we could talk about, the lie after lie after lie. I mean, this guy is an absolute, wannabe Castro dictator. I mean, who knows? Maybe he doesn't start killing people yet, but, it's not good. And so we can pretend all we want that, hey, he's a wonderful guy and he's a family man.
Well, sure.
You know, but it's baloney. You know, this guy is absolutely off the charts, spending us into a hole that we can't climb out of. I mean, if you think about all these junkets that he's spent and how much money he spent over the time in his office, we've doubled the debt and then some. You know, we're at $18 trillion now. China has surpassed us as the leading producer of goods and services. I guess that doesn't matter to you out there that you're all buying stuff from China, except when it comes to the point where our economy collapses and then it's a problem. It's one of those things that, you can't make up. So You know, in the meantime, you know, President Obama will abuse his presidential perks further by going to Hawaii for a 17-day working vacation. So how many vacations does this guy take? You know, Judicial Watch found that one prior Christmas vacation for Obama cost you and your grandchildren and their grandchildren about $4 million for flights alone. That's nothing else. That's just flights. So try not to think about how our country is going to be going further into debt as you enjoy your Christmas this season. Merry Christmas. And, you know, I would also want you to understand that when countries build this amount of debt, and we have the most debt of any country in the history of the world at this point, that it's a problem. And sooner or later, the rubber meets the road. And all of you guys that are out there voting for more spending and so forth, I hope you're okay with that. Anyway, have we got anything?
Working maybe on a different guest. We're supposed to have Fred Kelly Grant calling in, and I'm not sure what time it was. It was prearranged, but I may have somebody else coming on here shortly. We're playing some phone stuff here is okay. What we're doing.
Well, so. I'll just move on through Judicial Watch's enemies list. Talking about a dictator, you know, do we need to go to a break, Bob? Oh, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about the dictator.
All right, this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
We got two going, Bob.
I'll go find a network won't to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
A little holiday magic can go a long way, especially when it comes to shopping. Online superstores just don't have the cheer and warmth you need when winter kicks in and the to-do lists get long. But there's one place that really celebrates the season. Mount Shasta Mall's 80 stores and services help you give with confidence, and all the special seasonal events make sure you can enjoy some signature holiday magic. Santa visits and photos are now available daily through Christmas Eve, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Four-legged friends wanting to meet the big guy? They have their own special time. Join Paws and Claws every Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. Each evening, the mall comes to life with the wonder of a seasonal snowfall at 5, 6, and 7 p.m. Find the cheer this year when you celebrate and shop at the Mount Shasta Mall. Give a little magic.
Hi, this is Linda Bai. Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Bai. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Bai. Brought to you by Dandelion Boutique, Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
KCNR 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR 1460 AM.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
Mr. Grinch.
I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half
foot pole. Yeah.
You're a foul one.
You're a foul one. Yeah, we could go.
Well, that could apply to a few people out there. No, yeah. I'm not going to mention any names.
Not going to mention any names. When we went to the break, we're talking about Obama's enemies list, and there's been we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got another guest coming on, Bill Tatro.
Tatro, yes.
He's an economist, and we'll get to him here in a second. I just wanted to finish the thought on this judicial enemies list, or actually it's Obama's enemy list that was pulled out by Judicial Watch under the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that filed jointly with the Department of, against the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of the FBI. Background checks and so forth, and the request includes correspondence. So anyway, what's going on here is that they've been going after Cheryl Atkinson. Yeah, she did. It's funny. Anybody who does any investigative reporting gets targeted. Maybe that's why the media won't, do anything, because, she was had an investigation going on in the Operation Fast and Furious, and the Justice Department under Eric Holder, and when is he going to resign? Good grief. It's kind of like shutting down the IRS and the government. When are they going to do it? Please,
yeah,
help.
Get him to the curb. Kick him to the curb,
get it
folks.
Done.
Yeah,
please.
Let's get it over with.
It's like we might actually have a happy new year if we could shut down some of these government agencies that are working against us. Holy crap. Anybody who's out there think, it's like any government agency, and then we don't even know how many there are. Whatever they say they are, Department of Homeland Security. Well, it's kind of like the Department of Homeland Insecurity or Social Insecurity. Whatever they say they're doing is almost exactly the opposite of the results you get. Think of anyone. The Department of Defense. Really? How's that been working out lately? Let's go ask Sony.
Don't you love people who resign and then stay on another 9 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to know how that works.
Yeah, because, it doesn't matter anymore. Just give him all the power that he wants to pass everything that he needs. And we can be just like Cuba. That's what we need to aspire to, is to be like Cuba. Have you noticed all the commercials they show in Cuba? And their cars are like 1950 Chevrolet.
Everything's good, right?
Yeah, they do this. I mean, they don't update their cars because they are a society that just values nostalgia. Really? That's why they all drive 1950 Chevrolets, is because they love 1950 Chevrolets, right?
Happy days.
Yes, yeah. Happy days. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you know, whatever. 5 o'clock. No, it's not like rock around the clock. It's like walk around the clock because most of them can't even afford a car. And so the real deal is that they're communist, centrally located, top-down dictatorship isn't really good for the economy.
Yeah, ask them. I'm sure they would say so they're really enjoying themselves.
Let's aspire to that. So with that,
I think we need to get to our guest, Bill Tatro. Is that how you say your name, Bill?
Are you there, Bill?
Oh, hang on.
Sorry. Oh,
maybe not.
Oh. Well, anyway.
Have we got you, Bill?
I'm here.
How you doing this morning?
You put me into Cyberland there for a second.
Oh, well, sorry about that. You know, it's raining here in California, and what can we say?
Well, at least you're not being attacked by the North Koreans.
Well, no, but usually my record as far as because I write and I'm read by so many people that when usually there's glitches in radio, it's not on your end. It's either the NSA or it's Mr. Obama. He does this to me all the time.
Well, we should get along good then, because that happens to us on this end. So we ought to have a good time this morning.
Well, you know, he's a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Anyway, we've got our guest with us, Bill Tatro. Can I call you Bill? I hope.
And, please.
Very good. And I see you've got it. You're cut from the same cloth that I am. I think as far as economics, I mean, economics is my thing. I mean, you've got a lot of credentials here. I'm just a wannabe. But I see you've got, you know, economics, Auburn Community College, economics, Alfred. I'm not even sure where Alfred University is, 1968.
Well, Alfred University is the southern tier of Pennsylvania, northern tier of Pennsylvania, southern tier of New York.
Oh, I see.
But what's more interesting is that at 17 years old, I was a football player, and I was recruited by George Washington University.
Oh, nice.
I went down there, and I played, but I was a 17-year-old young mind, and I walked into a classroom. Most of my classrooms were 17 to 18 kids when I graduated from a little town in upstate New York, and there was about 700 students in this class. Professor says, I've got good news and bad news. Good news for me and also good news for you. He says, for the next couple of months, you are going to have the privilege of having a Canadian, 6'4", to kind of work and educate your mushy young minds, and I'm going to take the next couple of months off to write. So my professor was one John Kenneth Galbraith for the next several months.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I got to know the doctor very well. I didn't understand the rules that when you have 600-700 kids in a classroom, you don't raise your hand and ask questions.
Well, you might want to tell everybody who he is because most people wouldn't know.
I'm sorry. John Kenneth Galbraith, probably maybe one of the most famous guys out there and a stalwart in the Keynesian tradition. And when I continue to ask questions, and I would not understand his philosophy, and he told me once, he says, Mr. Tatro. I said, no, doctor, it's Tatro. He knew that, but he just continued to tweak me. And he said, you're an Austrian. I said, no, doctor, I was born in upstate New York. and as we went along those lines, and this is the classic, and I wrote it in this last column that I wrote, I could never understand the benefit of productivity. To this day, I don't understand the benefit of productivity. And he said, well, you're Keynesian, you won't understand it. And he said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, this Thursday, after class, I'll spend 15 minutes just with you. Thursday came, I'm waiting, everybody's left, he packs up to leave. And I said, doctor, we have a meeting. He said, no. He says, I'm leaving, I'm going to see the president. And I said, well, the president of the university can wait. You know, you promised. And I said something at 17, I said, well, that's BS. But I said the word.
Sure.
He stopped. He turned around. He said, all right. I said, I don't understand. If you have 10 people producing 10 things, and then you only have two people producing those 10 things, I understand that's good for the businessman. But what do you do with those 8 people? He says, well, they get infiltrated back into the economy. That's the American way. And I said, doctor, what happens if those 8 people cannot get infiltrated back and absorbed in the system? He said, then we are in deep trouble. Professor, doctor, today we are in deep trouble. But then he says, I have to leave. And I said, well, okay, so you're going to go see the president of the university. He says, no. He says, President Johnson and I are having a very significant meeting this morning. So my claim to fame of everything is I kept LBJ waiting for 15 minutes.
Nice. Nice. You know, my experience with these Keynesians is I had a kid on here who was a 17-year-old, and he'd been all enamored in school with the Keynesian theory. And, you know, he says, you got to read this book, you know. And so I go through the book, and I go, you know, they left out one big chapter on the money creation. They never talked about who was creating the money, why they're creating it, you know, basically the counterfeiting of it, and who was benefiting from the interest that they were charging on the debt. And I'm thinking, economics is all about money. You know, what's up with that?
Well, you know, for 30 years, I had a radio or television. I was on television, CBS, for a long time in New York. But on my radio show, that was the title of the radio show. It's all about money. Everything is about money.
Yep.
And, you know, when you get to that bottom line, I find the fascinating, Mark and Linda, I find the fascinating thing about when you talk to the Keynesian to people, and you can get into Mises as far as Austrian and all the rest of this stuff. But then I just say to people, look, the thinking is simply and clearly this. They are mired in one thing, and they believe that if it's not working, it's because they haven't done enough of it.
Yep.
So when you see all of this money that's being created, yet not getting into the system, this is where a lot of people and I kind of part company. Everybody's sitting waiting for that big inflationary blast. I'm a deflationist.
Well, that's where we're at right now. We're heading into a big deflation. That's for sure.
Oh, there's no question about that. And this is people say, well, but look at all that money they're printing. And I said, yeah, the money they're printing is not getting to you and me. When did you get that helicopter drop from Uncle Ben and maybe now from Janet? No, I don't think so. It's sitting on the balance sheets, and sitting on the balance sheet can erode very quickly. Look at all the individuals, the institutions, and the central banks that had money in the patch, in the oil patch, and fracking and all the rest of that stuff. And when you watch oil go from 110 to about 50, that's a quick loss of money. So it can get wiped away real quickly, but you're not seeing any of that. I'm not seeing any of that. That's the problem. It doesn't get to Main Street yet. What will they do? They'll continue to say, we need to do more of the same. Obviously, it didn't work in Japan, and we're in the third decade.
Well, you know, it's just a transfer of wealth from one to the other is what it amounts to at the end of the day. But, you know, it's like Russia right now. What do you think of the 17% interest hike in one day?
mean, that, you know, one of the things that's fascinating to me about Russia, and I've talked on a lot of radio stations this past week, and the thing is that I get a lot of emails from this perspective, that I have a great admiration for the mind. I'm not of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
This guy is a chess player, and Barack Obama is and his cronies and his contingent are basically playing checkers. And this is not to demean checker players out there.
All right.
But the bottom line is this
quite
guy
a bit different.
Is a step ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think this is going to hurt Russia at all. I think we know that Russia and China are dumping our dollars. Isn't that going to cause an inflationary factor in your opinion?
Well, one of the things is that in dumping, as you know, what Putin did this last week, and we saw the numbers that came out, there was this rumor that he was buying or that he was selling his gold. Bottom line was, for the month of November, he increased his position in gold. Yep. He was selling treasuries. Gee, a guy who sells at the top and buys something else at the bottom, interesting concept. Putin is basically, you know, he takes that strategy. Whereas our corporations, who are the only reason the stock market is there is because of the Fed and the corporations doing their own stock buyback, they're buying their stock back at the top. They need to take an investment lesson from Vladimir Putin. But to your question, Mark, and that is, that if, you know, a dumping their dollars out there, there is somebody and who continues to buy, and they're continuing to buy. That's why the dollars had such a strong run. And it is, you know, I've been around the world, been in different positions of, oh, I don't know, was it maybe 6 to 9 months ago, there were no dollars on the streets in Cairo. Now, they use the pound. That's there. Now, they're not part of the euro or anything like that. They use the pound. But what you go around the world is, ostensibly on the in public, they'll all talk about, well, we're going to kill the dollar, we're going to get rid of this and that. But underneath, you'll see this continued wanting for the dollar on a day-to-day basis. That's the irony of the whole thing.
Interesting. Listen, we got to go to a break, and then when we come back, let's talk some more about this. I think we're hitting on a really good subject.
All right. If you want to call in and you have a question or comment for our guests, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would just like to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. The bobtail drivers are busy delivering kerosene in the mountains, so give Danny a call and get on the delivery list. Johnny's been installing a lot of Toyo heaters, which are also great Christmas presents. So give him a call for a free estimate. Beth and Sherry have been doing a lot of pay-forward accounts, which really helps out this time of year. Robin has clear pearl at the Corning plant now for all the portable heaters. Joe up in Weaverville has clear and red Carol on card lock 24/7. So wherever you are, give us a call. When it comes to keeping people warm for the winter, nobody does it better than Northern Lights Energy. Redding, Corning, and Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Comes this time each year.
Ooh.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick.
It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick.
Just a little bobsled, we call it old Saint Nick. But you walk into the fog and with a four-speed stick. It's candy apple.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio, with our guest, Bill Tatro. And I hope I pronounced that correctly. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, you got it right. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not a Keynesian, so I guess I'm an Austrian too. But, you know, let's go back to the subject of gold here. I mean, you know, the word out there on the CNBC and all these guys that are talking about the Russian rates going up and so forth, you know, they're saying that he's dumping gold. Well, I think the BRICS are doing exactly the opposite of that. They are acquiring gold in leaps and bounds. And I mean, Jim Rickards said a few weeks ago in one of his tweets, he says, you know, the Americans, they're doing nothing and it doesn't really matter, gold and silver, while the rest of the world almost, BRICS, you know, China, Russia, India, South Africa and so forth are acquiring gold in huge amounts. What do you think's going on?
Well, it's pretty simple that, first of all, CNBC is wrong. I mean, let's put it there, okay?
I know, that's a shocker, I know.
which is one of the reasons why, if you look at their ratings, it is the lowest that it's ever been in history, and it may be a network which is, or a, I don't know, we'll call it an institution that's on, it's in the dying days, quite honestly. But with all due respect to them, when we saw this past week, we saw the number that came out of what their gold tonnage was in Russia.
Right.
I think it's fascinating is that Putin introduced about 3 weeks ago, if you listen to the guy, everybody gets mired in this whole thing about, you know, KGB and all the rest of it. Yeah, I don't respect all of that stuff. I'm just looking at the way he's operating on the world stage.
Right.
And when you look at him operating the world stage, he used the word gold standard.
Yep.
And that's fascinating because he introduced that in there. So there's the first thing. Then you go back prior to that. The deal that's being made with China is cutting out the petrodollar.
Right.
And so it's a direct deal. Then there's still negotiation between Russia and Iran. I find that fascinating because here you have Iran that's supposed to be our new best friend in the Middle East, and you know, along with, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'm forgive me. It's Cuba. Cuba's our new best friend.
I thought it was I thought it was ISIS.
Oh yeah, that's ISIS. It's amazing. Well, let's just throw something out to you guys, okay? Because as a novelist, and in a second I'll tell you about my book, but
yes.
as a novelist, I look at ISIS, and then I look at Sony and what's happened, and I see some similarities. And people will go, well, what? Wait a minute. That's such a wide jump. When I listen to one of the people whose son, I think he was an American, whose head was removed. I mean, the kid's head was cut off. And about 3 days later, the mother came on, and she was talking about the Justice Department maybe putting her into jail for negotiating with the terrorists to raise a ransom money. Okay. She was as cool as a cucumber. And I'm thinking, did this actually happen, or did they call her and the son said, Mom, this is going to happen, but I'm okay, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of way out there, but she was very, very cool. Now, fast forward. Here we have Sony. The word on the street as far as Sony is concerned, there's two things. And I'm going to write about this week because maybe you guys can help me with this.
Okay.
The Sony situation is, number one, I'm listening to Rob Lowe and some of the others talking about how they can't tell our companies what to do. They can't tell our situation. I heard it from John McCain, my dearest friend. Yeah, right. John McCain. They can't tell our companies. Well, the last time I looked, Sony was a Japanese company. And we haven't heard a word from the Japanese government. That's number one. Number two, the word on the street was that this movie was going to be a bomb. Not only in the United States, but all over the world. Can you imagine three guys at Sony and saying, all right, let's see, Bob, with due respect to your producer, Bob, how are we going to make people get interested in this movie? Well, let's fake a hacking. You know, there's been some great publicity stunts done in the past, and I just, in my weird mind, throws out there, what if this was a publicity stunt? Because everybody, I want to see the movie. Everybody wants to see the movie now. I just throw that out.
It almost sounds like springtime for Hitler in Germany again.
You're dating yourself on that one, pal.
Yeah, I know. It's tough out there.
The producers.
The producers. Yeah, we'll just fake it. Well, I would not be shocked anymore, you know. And going back to Putin, you know, I mean, it is a sad state of affairs when you can admire from an economic standpoint the Russian premier czar, I'm not sure exactly what his title is, over our American king, president, dictator, whatever you want to call him at this point, because he doesn't seem to follow the Constitution at all. So, You know, going back to the gold and silver and the now they're going to go back to they're trying to get the yuan as the world reserve currency, is my understanding. And with that in mind, I mean, shouldn't Americans be loading up on gold and silver so that, you know, if there is a currency collapse or a currency crisis, that they have a way to preserve their wealth as an insurance policy against the devaluation of the dollar or the currency?
First of all, I think yuan, no, it's not going to go that way.
You don't think so? Yuan.
No, I don't. I think that because if you look what's going on in China right now, the implosion going on in China and their accumulation of gold also, I think that as we go through 2015 is going to be an unbelievable year. Whether you're talking about the Elliott wave, you're talking about the 17-year cycle, even if you're talking about the biblical year of Jubilee. All of these things are going to be coming in 15. So 15, in my opinion, we ultimately are going to get back to the gold standard.
I agree.
Do I think that people should be buying gold in here? Yes. But remember, Mark, remember, and Linda, remember two things, okay? That gold, I was a great shorter of gold when it was around 1700, 1800. And I would have the same argument made 3 years ago that people would say, well, you know, I'm walking down in New York and I can buy the suit at a $25 gold piece, and now here it is 100 years later and I can buy the same suit, but it's $1,200 and the gold maintains its value. Yes, I understand that. But there will be time periods when we will go and we'll have ups and downs while it is not a currency. It is not a, you cannot walk into Burger King and give them a $25 gold piece and get change. While it is not a currency, you have to understand it will go up, it will go down, there will be fluctuations. I think silver should be bought. I think gold should be bought. I don't think you bet the farm on it right now, but I do believe that ultimately we have to get back to the gold standard, because this fiat currency garbage is going to create just so much drama. You know, one of the things that happened about 2 weeks ago, and not really talked about dramatically, but I wrote about it, and I said we've had two major pieces of legislation that were dramatic for this country. Number one was Smoot-Hawley, talked about in 29, passed in 30, because of that's one of the main reasons of the Great Depression, the stoppage of tariffs. The tariff stopped trade worldwide. Boom. Great Depression. There you go. The second one was the breakdown of the Glass-Steagall in 1999 by Clinton, Rubens, and Summers that allowed banks, to investment banks and commercial banks, to come together as one. What do we have since then? We've had the dot-com crash, the credit crash. We've had this thing that we're going through right now. The third bill, which everything comes in threes, and this third piece was a couple of weeks ago when the budget passed. I know all the spending, that's what everybody's looking at, but when Citibank wrote the legislation that allowed the banks to be protected and covered by you and I, the taxpayer, that gave them free rein in the derivative market, and yep. All of a sudden now we're worth, where we were about 50 to 60 trillion in 08, we're over 300 trillion now and rising. That is going to be disastrous.
Well, that's the whole problem, and then they basically circumvented Dodd-Frank with that bill and I got to say, our congressman didn't vote for it. I was really happy to see that. I'm looking at an article right here from the Wall Street on Parade, and this was published on December 16th, and the title of it is Meet Your Newest Legislator, Citigroup. Citigroup actually wrote the part of the bill that you're talking about.
Yes, that was word for word.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, here's some idea. You know, we lobbyists give stuff. And who was the biggest lobbyyist? It was Jamie Dimon.
He was calling congressmen and the senators in order to get the bill passed. How does that work? I mean, he's supposed to be, you know, Jamie Dimon is the head of J.P. Morgan, if anybody doesn't know that. I mean, that is insane for him to get, and he's the one that was evidently the part of the camel, the last straw that broke its back in order to get it passed.
If you look at J.P. Morgan, the amount of derivatives, they are the biggest in the world. They are dancing on the head of the pin, and this would have been very disastrous for them, because now then all of a sudden it is their money. It is not our money. It is their money. But it passed, and so that, you know, when Smoot-Hawley passed back in 1930, the public, the mainstream media, big deal. In 99, when there was some outcry when the Glass-Steagall was basically ruptured and broken apart, but not really dramatic. The same thing here. We just, okay, that was it. You know, our attention span was 2 weeks ago, but that's that. This was a very significant piece of legislation.
All right. And with that, Bill, we have to go to a break. And then when we come back, we have a caller on the line that has a question for you.
Wonderful.
All right. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, when those blue memories start calling, you'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white. But I have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
This is United States Navy Captain John Brigelli, forward deployed with the U.S. 7th Fleet in Yokosuka, Japan, and proudly serving in the Asia-Pacific area of operations. I want to wish my family and friends in Red Bluff, California, happy holidays. Thank you for your support, and thanks to all Americans who back the U.S. Navy.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
There's nothing like being home for the holidays, yet our animal shelter is full of wonderful dogs and cats that may not have a home of their own this holiday season. During the months of November and December, Haven Humane Society is challenging the community to give 200 shelter pets a home for the holidays. Adoption fees are discounted up to 50%. Please give a shelter dog or cat a place to call home this holiday season. Follow our challenge on Facebook and visit Haven Humane Society at 7449 Eastside Road to bring home the greatest gift of all this holiday season.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me.
Yep. Have a holly jolly Christmas out there. We're talking economics. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if that's going to be a holly jolly Christmas
could be a
when
problem.
We get done.
I wanted to tell Red from Jefferson State of Mind, happy birthday. didn't make it in this morning. Maybe he had a little holly jolly Christmas and a cup of cheer yesterday. I'm not sure.
A little too much honey for the bear.
A little
as
too
they
much
say.
Honey for the bear. Yeah. I was just looking at I was looking at Bill Tatro's website here, and I encourage everybody to go look at it. It's BillTatro.com. That's B-I-L-L-T-A-T-R-O.com. TRO.com. He's written a couple of books. The 1 Hour Survival Guide for the Downside. He wrote in 2002, and his latest book is the 44th Presidential Conspiracy. Yep. I guess that's 44th A Presidential Conspiracy that was released in September of this year and is available at Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle. So, are you there still, Bill?
Oh, yes, of course I am. And the shameless promotion makes a wonderful stocking stuffer.
You got to like it.
Yeah. So, good idea. With that, I think we have Todd on the line that has a question for you. Todd, are you there?
Yeah.
You have a question for our guest?
Sure. Bill, I heard you mention about the Sony hacking scandal, state-sponsored hacking, and I was wondering what your thoughts are. Isn't that exactly what the U.S. government is doing to all their citizens, hacking their information? You had mentioned the reporter looking into Fast and Furious and several other cases, the AP hacking of their information, state-sponsored. And so that's one question. And my other question would be concerning the Cuban issue. Isn't that just a wag the dog issue where it got the torture report off the headlines? Because suddenly that torture report is no longer even talked about on the news. It's gone from the headlines, and now it's all Cuba issue. And I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Todd.
Well, Todd, thanks for the question or questions. And if you go to the Sony situation, well, the irony is that whether it was, and let's say it is state hacked, we've been doing that. Just ask Angela Merkel. A few years ago, the relationship between the United States and a lot of the world leaders, when all of a sudden they found out that their phones were tapped, that all their emails were being listened to or taken, the whole nine yards, this is something that we've been doing for a long, long time. So it's tough to throw stones when you live in a glass house.
As far as
the Cuban situation, again, the guy is a master. I mean, the guy is a master at seeing that the world focuses on something, and then all of a sudden he does something else to take your eyes off of it. I write about this in the book, 44th. Now, just be very clear. It's a novel, but it is based upon, as I say, torn from the pages of today's headlines. Here's one that I throw out to you. Do you remember the poll rankings for Barack Obama? And all of a sudden, we killed Osama bin Laden?
Remember that? Yeah, I do.
And all of a sudden, everything was looking. Well, having done some investigation of my own, I take a little different approach on what happened with Osama bin Laden. You'll find that very, very interesting in the book. But you're right, Todd. He's a master at that as far as misdirecting. And he's done that for a long period of time.
Well, I'm looking at an article here from InfoWars and Alex Jones. And, you know, I don't necessarily, I'm not a big Alex Jones InfoWars.com subscriber, but the title of the article is Sony Hack Bears Hallmarks of U.S. Intelligence Operation and Obama Administration Mulling Proportionate Response, Proportional Response. I mean, it seems like this is done a lot. Like you say, it's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black here a little bit. And what has their response been? There hasn't been much of a response at all. You know, there's going to be a response, and we can't let them get away with this, and, you know, we'll do it in our own time frames. And I see that, you know, that's translated into English as we're not going to do anything.
Yeah. You know, Einstein, there was a statement made by Einstein, and he said that humanity would, when technology ultimately got to a point, it would take over the humanity. That would be the technology. Yep. You look at the kids today, and you look at them, it's constantly, everybody has their nose in a phone. Now, why do I bring this up? Because talking to a young man who was an intern of mine last summer, I asked him, I said, doesn't it bother you that the NSA knows everything that's going on, that everything is happening? And he goes, no, of course not. And you ask the millennials, they could care less. I then said to him, I said, you know, there was a gentleman back in Germany, and he said, when they came and they took the businessmen, I didn't speak up. When they came and took the Jews, I didn't speak up. When they came and took the Christians, I didn't speak up. When they came to take me, there was nobody left to speak up. The problem is that we have this cognitive dissonance that it can't happen here in America. There's nothing that can happen. You know, it's all fine. But the reality is, shows like yours, columnists like mine, if people don't continue to open their minds and listen, then we're setting ourselves up for some very nasty things ahead.
Oh, I can see it coming. I mean, I've got a news source here talking about, this is, again, coming from InfoWars, police-armored military vehicles needed for constitutionalists with firearms. That's the danger here, that, and this is actually a video from a sheriff up in Washington. I guess we got to go. I'm being forced.
They're going to cut us off. We're at the top of the hour, but if you can hang with us, Bill, we'll catch you on the other side of this hard break. This
is KCNR. Okay, for a few more minutes.
All right, thanks, Bill. KCNR 1460 on the Free Fire Media.
Hour number two of Sovereign Minds coming up next here on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A number of Republican lawmakers are dissatisfied with President Obama for reaching out to Cuba. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson says Congress is going to have the final say on normalizing relations with that communist country.
The administration has to follow some very specific steps before they lift the embargo. The president has not followed those. In other words, a determination that there's actually been a transition government. That hasn't happened.
He was a guest on Fox News. The president is pondering what, if any, action to take against North Korea for its hacking of Sony Pictures. John Everard, a former British ambassador to North Korea, says the U.S. does have some options.
The North Korean economy, unlike the Iranian economy, for example, has not been heavily sanctioned, so that it would be open to the United States to introduce new sanctions that hit the North Koreans in the pocket.
He spoke to Sky News. Meanwhile, companies around the world are reacting to the Sony hacking situation by tightening up their own security.
So far, the Sony hack has led to embarrassing information from interoffice emails being made public. A lawsuit from employees whose information was mined and caused the studio to cancel a movie that could cost it hundreds of millions of dollars. One security firm says that the Sony breach should be a real wake-up call because, in this case, the hacking was done with the aim of destroying a company rather than financial gain. Gordon Griffin, SRN News.
Loud explosions and intense gun battles being heard inside the town of Sinjar in India, in Iraq today. Islamic State militants have captured the town, but Kurdish fighters are now pushing their way back in. Backed by U.S.-led coalition airstrikes today, the Kurdish Peshmerga fighters launched the operation to retake Sinjar late last week. The Taliban claiming responsibility for an attack today on a checkpoint in northern Afghanistan. Police say at least 7 officers were killed in the attack, 5 more wounded. Reinforcements were sent to the location, and 5 insurgents were also killed. This is SRN News.
Nearly 1 million men, women, and children have fled their Iraqi homes because of the brutal violence of ISIS terrorists. Many of these families are living in hot, dire conditions with little food, water, or shelter. International Christian Relief Organization Samaritan's Purse is working in northern Iraq and is providing food, water, clothing, and shelter. To donate, visit samaritanspurse.org or call 800-789-2979.
I'm Ken Isaacs with Samaritan's Purse. The situation in Iraq is critical and we need your help. We have deployed a disaster assistance response team and are working with our Christian partners in northern Iraq to reduce the suffering in this area.
You can make a difference. To donate, call 800-789-2979 or visit samaritanspurse.org. Samaritan's Purse is working in northern Iraq. Visit samaritanspurse.org or call 800-789-2979. samaritanspurse.org.
A strong earthquake has struck off the coast of eastern Indonesia today, but there are no reports of injuries or damage, and authorities say a tsunami is not likely. The U.S. Geological Survey says the magnitude 6.6 quake struck 88 miles west of the town of Tupelo. Indonesia is prone to earthquakes due to its location on the Pacific Ring of Fire, an arc of volcanoes and fault lines in the Pacific Basin. In December of 2004, a massive quake off Sumatra triggered a huge tsunami that killed nearly a quarter of a million people. Saudi Arabia's oil chief says that allegations the kingdom conspired to bring oil prices down to harm its neighbors are false. Petroleum Minister Ali Naimi says at an oil summit in the UAE today, quote, the best thing for everybody is to let the most efficient produce. His remarks were likely meant to alleviate concerns by some of the oil giant's neighbors. The kingdom is forcing lower oil prices to damage their economies. This is SRN News. Controversy in Indiana over T-shirts that make light of the I Can't Breathe refrain used to protest the police killing of a New York City man.
The shirts reading Breathe Easy, Don't Break the Law have been sold by Mishawaka police officer and local businessman Jason Barthel. Couple members of the South Bend City Council complain the shirts are divisive. Barthel's response, when we use the slogan Breathe Easy, we're referring to knowing the police are there for you.
SRN's Rich Thomason. Last-minute Christmas travel and shopping may be complicated by a big storm. The forecasters expect to move across the central and eastern U.S. by Christmas Eve. Heavy rain will be the rule in many places, though snow is expected. Unseasonably warm temperatures, though, will probably keep much of the precipitation as rain. High winds will complicate matters in other regions, though. The cold front is expected to move in on Christmas Day right behind all that rain. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. And we have a great guest on tonight.
Yes, we do.
This morning.
It's today.
Feels like tonight. It's today. Anyway.
It's dark and gloomy out there anyhow.
Yeah, it is. It's been raining for days and days and days and days. And we were just talking about football games, and the 49ers lost last night.
Yep, they choked.
They choked. The and I guess Bill's waiting for the game to come on. You're an Arizona Cardinal fan?
Well, absolutely. You know, and my heart goes out to you two guys in your loss yesterday.
Oh, what a guy.
21 point lead. And of course, I'm watching Michigan probably feeling a lot better now that Mr. Harbaugh is. Isn't that unbelievable, though? You think about that. I was listening, reading the fact that they're offering him something about 26% of the total revenue from football.
Oh,
not
wow.
The net, not the net after the expenses, but the total net, something like, I mean, it's dramatic.
Wow.
I mean, we, you know, it's all about money, right?
Yeah, follow well, the money.
That kind of leads me into my question here. I mean, you know, we know America's been dumbed down, and a lot of people wonder, why do we always talk about the economy here? Because, you know, we realize that the economy is what's driving everything. It is all about the money. That's what the wars are about. That's what, you know, the banking's about. That's what the policies are about. I mean, just look at this bill was passed. And, you know, it's kind of the fabric of deception is woven in through all these bills, just like this last one that was passed. And so, you know, what do we do about this stuff? Do you have any solutions for us, Bill?
Well, first of all, Mark and Linda, we have to understand what actually is happening. And it's not new. There was a gentleman who said... He said that if you tell a lie and you repeat it enough times, then it will become the truth. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, he said, if you can control the media, if you can get in control of the media and get that message continually out through the media, that's number two. That will be your success. Number three, he said, when the truth finally comes out, which means that the people have actually realized what's happening, you then have to have a force, a military force, goes back to the arming of the police, okay? And that's a whole different topic, but the actual amount of armament that they have coming in, you have to arm and make sure that you can suppress what's going to happen with the people. You know who said that? That was Joseph Goebbels.
Yeah, that was
Joseph Goebbels under Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, and, good old Adolf.
And that particular philosophy is being utilized today. And by the way, I talk about that in my book. So.
Oh, everybody's got to get this book, it sounds like to me. And that's the 44th, A Presidential Conspiracy. It was released in September and available on Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle.
Yes.
I got to throw that out there just to help you out here because we think you're a great guest. And I think you're right on this stuff. I think that the actual truth of the economy is what's driving everything in the world stage. And I believe we're being set up here, if not set up, I believe that the gold standard will come back by its own fruition just because it is basically real money while all else is just fiat currencies.
David Ricardo, several hundred years ago, one of the classic economists of all times, made this statement. And people, it's tough to grasp. And he said that you don't even need to have gold to be on a gold standard.
Right.
And you start to think about that. It's and you go, wait a minute. How can you not have gold to be a gold standard? When I speak, I do a lot of speaking around the country, and people say, well, we could never go to a gold standard because we can't peg and this type of thing. So I bring somebody up out of the audience, and I say to them, you have a $5 bill, right, in your pocket. And the guy says, well, yeah, okay, because I asked you whoever had a $5 bill, come up to the stage. I said, take out your $5 bill. And the guy says, okay. And I said, I'm going to give you change for your $5 bill in singles. So the guy hands me the five. I give him four ones. He goes, well, wait a minute. Where's the fifth one? I said, well, no. Today, fours are only good. A $5 bill is only four singles. What? I said, see, we understand. If I give you and say, how many quarters for a dollar? Four quarters. How many nickels for a dollar? 20. How many pennies? 100. How many dimes? 10. We accept that. We do that every single day. So why can't we sit there and say, well, the dollar is this pegged to gold. The euro is this to gold. It's accepted. It could be accepted. That's the way it was for years and years. But the central bankers don't have control of that.
Absolutely.
When it's pegged to gold, when it's there and it's a standard, not how many ounces you have sitting someplace, by having gold in your pocket, in your vault, that means then you have wealth. That's what it is. Not only the institutions, not only the countries, but also you, the individual. We will get there. We will get there.
Well, it's holding it outside of the banking system, and the government is the deal, because if you're in Federal Reserve notes, it's every note that's in existence has an interest being charged on it while it's circulating, thus the national debt and the treasuries and so forth. But there's no counterparty risk, and the value is in the metal itself, not in the labor that people are producing to give the backing or the value to the dollars.
Boy, you are so right on that. You want to have some fun? Here's my little fun thing for the folks in the listeners. You take out a dollar bill and you look at the front of it and it says it's a Federal Reserve note. It's legal tender, but it's a Federal Reserve note, which means that it's a debt. It means that it has to be paid off. Take your dollar, go to a bank teller and hand in the dollar and say, I'd like to be paid the debt on this debt. And they're going to look at what are you talking about? I said, well, this is just a piece of paper that's a debt. I'd like to cash it in. I'd like to get my money for it. But it is money. And you want to confuse a 21-year-old kid? That'll drive them nuts. Here's something else that drives them nuts. I find is fascinating. When you talk about the economics, and people, they have their head in the sand, Mark, but the fact is that, and this we could talk about for hours, but is the fact when they say, well, oil prices have come down, that means that there's more money in your pocket.
No.
You like that one? Let's see.
I'm not feeling it here. I'm not feeling it.
No, you're not feeling that? I go to the gas station. I have $80 in my pocket. I have a 20-gallon tank. It's $4 a gallon. $80. I give them all, after sticker shock, I give them all my $80. I got zero in my pocket. Okay. Now it drops down to $2 a gallon, and I still got the $20 tank. I still got $80 in my pocket. I go, I give them $40. I got $40 left. Great. I didn't get an extra 80. I didn't get extra money. I got the 40. Now, here's what the retailers hope, and this is what Mr. Obama is saying, and this is his advisors are saying. Everybody's going to take that extra 40, and they're going to go, and they're going to go to the local store, the retailer, and buy a Christmas present. Okay, I'll go with that. So they go buy the Christmas present. What's the Christmas present? Well, the Christmas present, usually if it's electronic or something along those lines, says made in China. So that $40, the bulk of it gets shipped overseas. That's really going to help our GDP.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, guess what the Oil Institute has said, and it's governmental, that in 2015, 79% of the cost of our energy will be here in the United States. 21% will be imported. That means of that $40, 79% is going to stay here in the United States. So let's see. This is the twist of this whole thing. The higher oil prices help support the oil companies of the United States. Those guys, you know, in the north, the shale and Texas, etc. And, oh, by the way, the falling oil prices, well, who does that help? Well, of course, that helps everybody around the world. That's the irony of the whole thing.
Well, what do you think's going on with the oil prices? You know, we keep hearing from everybody in the media that that's what's causing Russia to fold and on the oil going down because, you know, most of their economy is dependent on the oil. But Putin's not worried at all. What do you think? I mean, what is really going on there?
All right, let's start from the top. The deal was made between Saudi Arabia and the United States. Saudi Arabia says to the United States, you keep bombing in Syria, ostensibly for ISIS, sure. But then every once in a while, you want to bomb Assad, knock him out, take them away. We'll go in, we'll take over that land, and then we'll get rid of the Russian pipeline. We'll put our pipeline through there, all about money. So United States says, so what's the trade-off? Trade-off says, Saudi Arabia says, we'll overproduce. They're not bad business people.
Right.
They realize that the prices have come down from $110 down to $45, $50. But that's their trade-off. Remember, Saudi Arabia's production cost is $2 to $3 a barrel. That's it. So you've got that. Now, it's also the sidelight is you're going to hurt Russia. So in Obama and his administration's mind, we're going to hurt Russia. Of course we hurt Russia. But remember, Putin goes on the other day for 3.5 hours and does a question and answer without teleprompters, I might add. You know, our president goes into the third grade and has to have teleprompters. But this guy, he doesn't need the teleprompters. So what does he do? He tells the people, it's going to be rough, it's going to be difficult, but we are collecting gold, we will pull together, we'll make it through here. And, oh, by the way, our deals with China, as far as the stuff that we're exporting, importing, et cetera, the guy is just playing it right. And so now we're talking about, I love this. I was listening in the break to some of the news. Oh, we're going to put sanctions on North Korea. The sanctions have really worked well, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Against
yeah.
Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really well. You know who they've hurt? They've hurt Europe. They've hurt Europe. They've killed Europe as far as the sanctions. No, you can't ship any of your farmers. You can't send any of your produce into Russia. Wait a minute. That's 80% of my export goes to Russia. Well, can't do that anymore. So what do? I eat my vegetables or I let it rot in the field? And so that's why it's all dominoes, guys. It's all dominoes. You push one, it's the other. That's why it's so big this week in Greece. Mm-hmm. And as far as the elections, if they don't get on the third election, if they don't get this president put in, then it's going to be open elections, and you could see Syriza be elected, come into power. That means Greece will fold from the European Union. I do a lot of work in France, and I know that Marine Le Pen, that particular, what is it, the Democratic whatever,
yeah,
they could very well take power. You could see over the next 12 months, a total radical change in European. You could see it. We now know as far as the premier in China, he's now gone away from the Keynesian. They're starting to really tighten up and things along those lines. So it's going to be a fascinating year.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Europe has fallen apart. The European Union has got to go because, you know, you can't keep doing the Keynesian debt is money thing. But what do you think about on Saudi Arabia? I mean, Ron Paul has always said that when Saudi Arabia, you know, turns on us, then that's the end of it, the end of the dollar, because they're the biggest producer of oil in the Middle East, and they're using our dollars to maintain the petro. So you're thinking that's why the whole Syria thing is there is to maintain the petro dollar in the Middle East?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the irony of this whole thing, if you and I pride myself as a, not only a economist but a historian, and we look at this ISIS, and it's dramatic, and I listened to one of the commercials about the Christian movement in there, and I'm just, you know, as a born-again Christian, I'm all for this kind of stuff. But here's one of the interesting things. These people are trying to forget the politics, I guess, it's stuff to do, but what these people are trying to do is get those borders rechanged, those lands rechanged. If you remember, back after the First World War, it was, we go back to the movie Lawrence of Arabia, when King Saud was sitting there, and you had a gentleman from France and a gentleman from England. They divided up the Middle East. They drew the lines. They said, okay, this will be this will be this, and this will be this. 100 years later, what you've got is a group of people who are using fairly questionable motives. You know, cutting off the head. Saudi Arabia does that all the time. But questionable motives, but not motives, but questionable tactics. But the motive is to get it back to the way it was 100 years ago. We also hear that every once in a while here in the Southwest. We hear people saying, you know, we really should get the Arizona and New Mexico and even Southern California back to the way it was 100 years ago. So nothing really, you know, Shakespeare said there was no real difference. There's like 6 or 7 plots. The same thing in the world. We just see this continual flow and stream. That's why 2015 is going to be really quite a year.
It seems like the events are getting faster and faster and faster. A lot of people have predicted that there was going to be an economic conundrum way before this. I see the events, like you say, escalating. What do you predict for 2015, and what should the American people do to solve all this stuff? I mean, you know, the borders are collapsing down below because we haven't got any enforcement of them. And, should I be thinking about moving to Chile or what?
Well, the first thing is understand my prediction. This was a couple years ago, that the markets would bottom in 2016. Sometime in late 2016, they would bottom, which means that we have 1 year to get there. Right? When I'm talking about a stock market 17,000-18,000, I feel it's going to be somewhere around 3,000. I know everybody just turned me off because that's so crazy. But when you look at things drop and can drop 20-30% in a day, well, things can dramatically happen. Your question was, what do people do? First of all, the world around them does affect them. To understand it, to have knowledge of what's happening out there. Don't live like the world's going to end every day. It's Christmas season. Have a wonderful time. Hug your kids and the family and all the rest of that stuff. And live every day to the fullest. But understand that that first of all, markets can change overnight. The fact that I always tell people, how much cash do you have in your house? Well, I don't have investment. I have equity. No. I'm talking about actual cash in your house.
Cold hard cash.
Because what can happen in what happened in Cyprus? And by the way, Goldman Sachs already told the people in Greece, if you vote the wrong way, which means don't put a president in that is for the European Union, we could create a Cyprus moment for your banks. How about that? A democratic elected situation. Well, of course, we had a democratic elected situation in Ukraine, and we just decided to remove the president and put somebody else in. But I think for the American public to understand what's happening, don't get mired in the fact that, well, trees grow to the sky forever, and this markets are going to go on forever and ever and ever. Get protective. Make sure, and I do this in my website because that's what I do. I do estate planning for people. Make sure that you're that's taken care of and I'll put to bed. But it's just understand. Listen to your show. Read my stuff and be better knowledgeable in this kind of thing so that things that can pertain to you, the individual, that you can take advantage of and be involved. And as I said, the key is to understand. Knowledge is power. I've always believed.
I totally agree with you. And that's what we're trying to get out there for as many people as possible, is to protect yourself, get yourself in a better situation and a position so that you're not subject to all of this stuff. We actually might want to start producing as a nation at some point actual goods and service, actual goods instead of just services. And, because that's part of the problem. We stop producing things over time.
And can I give you a quick, do I have a minute or two?
Sure, you got a whole half hour if you want there, okay. Bill.
All right, let me tell you, Okay, for a long while, I owned a condo, and I lived in the same building with John McCain. And John and I, several years ago, when he was running for president, I told him the reason it wasn't closer is because you didn't hire me as your economics advisor. And I said, the one thing that I would have done is when you were about an 8 to 10 point lead and the Lehman moment happened, you should have looked in that camera and you should have told the American public, like Putin did, like Winston Churchill did, that we have trouble ahead. We are going to have dramatic trouble, but we are going to get through it. This was in that Lehman moment when GM was collapsing, everybody was collapsing, and he should have stepped up and said, these people are going to go down, but our free capitalistic system is going to go forward, et cetera, et cetera. And he just looked and he smiled. Then I had a conversation with him, and I've had a conversation with several politicians, of talking about how to bring manufacturing back to the United States. It's not difficult. It's very simple. Because what you do is you give every corporation, you put them on a fixed tax, whether it's 15%, 20%, or whatever it is. No deductions. I mean, you hit Apple for 20%. Just because they have 90% of their money overseas, I don't care. You hit them for at say 20%. Now, you look and you say, why are you overseas? You're overseas because on every person that works overseas, I'm saving X number of dollars. Take those X number of dollars and give them a credit against their taxes. Corning is an example. Done a lot of work in Corning, Southern Tier in New York. I said, you just opened a plant several years ago over in Beijing, hired 20,000 people. 20,000 people? You could hire those 20,000 back here. You would then get the taxes off of those people. But you want to know what John McCain's response to that was? His response was, do you know, I said, why couldn't we have a call center for U.S. Air instead of Philippines? Why couldn't we have it here in Phoenix or in Tempe or in Burbank? I mean, why couldn't we have it? He says, well, that would disrupt the economy there in the Philippines.
Jeez.
I said, are you kidding me? That's your response? I could give a rat's about the economy in Philippines. I'm caring about the people who are out of work here. I'm talking about the kids who can't get a job coming out of college. I'm talking about all these people who are, oh, by the way, they're not working, but they're not unemployed. Remember that.
Right.
Well, it's true. I mean, these globalists, these statists are more worried about this global new world order, if you will, for lack of a better terminology, than they are their own country. And yeah. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, you know, we don't want to be isolationists. We want free trade. At the same time, you know, we've got to start producing stuff. And I guess you got to hit the rock bottom before people understand it.
That's absolutely right. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, as we go along, it just amazes me more and more and more, that people will wake up, you know, it's kind of like when you're a drunk, you know, I guess you gotta find yourself in the gutter before you go, hey, wait a minute, maybe there is something wrong with, you know, getting drunk constantly. And we're drunk on dollars. I mean, I think we need to number one, you know, abolish the Federal Reserve, go back to, you know, our money being our own money. It's not our money right now. It's a private bank and they're issuing currency. And I mean, we know where that's headed and what's happened, and get rid of the IRS. I think we should just completely eliminate, the income tax. And that would solve a lot of the problems because there would be not nearly as much problem with, you know, going after payrolls and paychecks. And I mean, it would free up businesses dramatically.
Well, Mark, I think that you should tell Bob to cue up every time you say that we should get rid of the Federal Reserve. You should have him cue the Hallelujah chorus. and that just, Bob, please, next time when Mark says that, please cue the Hallelujah chorus. All right. I will have to tell you something funny. A few years ago when I started watching the credit default swaps in Greece, and this was the day after Thanksgiving, how many years ago? This was the beginning of the European crisis. And every time I would say the word Greece, then the producer would play the movie from the Olivia Newton-John movie, you know, the theme from Greece. It got to be very sickening after a while. So, you know, maybe the Hallelujah chorus a couple of times would be
okay. Well, I'll have him cue it up.
Worst thing that ever happened in the United States, Jekyll Island, 09, 2000, or 1913, the evolution of the Federal Reserve. And it's has to go. It absolutely has to go.
Turned into the octopus that's got, I mean, now it's the giant squid, I guess, is what they call Goldman Sachs. But it's true. I mean, that's where most of our problems are. And we're talking about separating the state up here into the state of Jefferson. And I think that, you know, that would be a good start, too, to separate from the Keynesian California interests that, you know, where does it end? I mean, when does it implode, I guess, is the question.
I believe that it's sooner rather than later, and that's why I say I think if you look at all the different cycles and everything that are out there, I mean, even biblically, I said this earlier in the show, the year of Jubilee is theoretically, some of the biblical experts will say 2015. What does that mean? Well, in the past, under Judaic law, it was the every 7 years, it was forgiveness of debt. Now, nobody's going to forgive debt, but what if the debt implodes and it simply goes away? That's another interpretation of year of Jubilee.
Yep.
You take a look at the 17-year cycle. You take a look at the Elliott wave. All of these different things are playing out. They seem to be coming to this end, this point. And so it'll be very, very interesting to see how this thing plays out as we get. But it's, you're absolutely right. There's not going to be, nobody's going to wake up with an epiphany that all of a sudden, oh, we have to change the system. And the people who are in power are not going to go away quietly.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. There will be a tug and back and forth. But it's getting, and I think you said earlier, Mark, things are starting to speed up. They seem to be getting faster and faster and faster and faster. And then all of a sudden, it's like I tell people, when I was a child, one of my favorite Christmas presents was this little balsa wood airplane where it had a rubber band and a propeller. And you would kind of tighten it, and then you'd let it go. And it'd either go to the ground and crash or go up and soar. I fully believe that this rubber band is getting tighter and tighter, and it's going to be released this year, and it's not going to soar into the sky. I think it's going to go right down into the ground.
And I think it's going to be a worldwide event because all of these central banks are all interlinked, and all of this debt is all interlinked in a domino fashion, and a contagion could start anywhere with a black swan event.
And the whole thing is what we started the program with is it's all tied, they're all linked to the Keynesian thinking.
Yep.
And when that kind of goes by the boards, then, as they say, Katie bar the door.
Yeah, well, we got to go hallelujah. I think we got to go to a break here, and then I want to thank you for being on the program.
Yeah, it's been
well,
great
thank you so much
for
thank
time.
You so much for having me. I hope to come back soon and look forward to that. BillTatro.com is the site, and again, shameless promotion, 44th of Presidential Conspiracy. Put it in your stocking.
All right, very good.
Okay, and
Bill.
You have a very Merry Christmas and be safe.
And a Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. And this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air.
Have you put your name on your to love and to take care of list lately? At the House of Conscious Living Yoga, we offer you a space for a well-deserved time in. You will be welcomed by the warmth and kindness of a yoga community here to make you feel safe and cared for. The House of Conscious Living Yoga is a place for healing. Our yoga mat will help you rediscover your own power to design your life in every way. Need to strengthen your body, calm your mind, or lighten your heart? You have come to the right place. Non-competitive, medically knowledgeable and safe, therapeutic and caring are just some of the words used to describe the House of Conscious Living Yoga professional staff. New to the studio? Receive your first 5 classes for only $25. Visit our website, consciouslivingyoga.com, for all the information you'll need to get started on your path toward a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. consciouslivingyoga.com, 246-7256.
Hi, Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers, here to wish you a safe and happy holiday season. While spending time with family this joyous time of year, keep in mind some simple signs that mom and dad may be needing some more help at home. Many families notice changes in their loved ones while seeing them over the holidays. Is the mail stacking up? Have you seen past due notices? Have mom or dad forgotten to turn off appliances or failed to lock the doors at night? Check the refrigerator for food freshness and expiration dates. And check medications. Are they being refilled timely and taken properly? For more tips and information on how you can help, visit ReadingHomeHelpers.com or call me, Sharon, for an in-home assessment and learn more about Home Helpers and our many home care services. Call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or visit us online at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. This holiday season, give your loved one the gift of safely remaining at home. Happy holidays from Home Helpers.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly and my dear, we're still.
I think, no, that's Bing. That's not Bing Crosby.
No,
that's Dean.
That's Dean.
You gotta have the, yeah, you know.
Come on, get with the right one. You know,
you gotta have a couple of drinks and a cigarette. You know.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah,
one.
probably not gonna happen. Yeah.
We don't do those things anymore.
When you work here, you gotta know you're Dean Martin.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
reminds me. Didn't somebody actually used to work with Dean?
Oh, it was Linda Bott. Yeah,
I know she was a gold digger,
yeah,
wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the dancers, the gold diggers. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
So you better know Dean.
Well, I didn't really know Dean.
I cannot claim Dean as a relative, unfortunately.
There you have it.
All right. Well, we're moving right along.
This
morning.
Shh. Yeah, we've had a great show. Loved the
Bill
guest.
Bill was great.
Great guest.
Got to have him back. A lot of information. A lot of good stuff out there.
And we actually have another great guest
who's
on the phone with us right now, and we can get an update on the CARB and all that stuff. We have with us, I believe, Fred Kelly Grant, who I think is on the line with us right now. Are you there, Fred?
I sure am.
Good
Glad
morning.
To be here.
Very good, very good. What astounding news have you got for us, Fred, as far as what's going on with the coordination in Shasta County?
Well, I learned a lot of new things this week. I was there all week and then had a dreadful meeting in San Francisco on other business all day yesterday and spent 7 hours in the Oakland airport. So I'm glad to be back in Boise.
I bet.
Glad to be back in Boise, Idaho, and it's raining here just like it did every day in California when I was there.
Well,
one of the things that I learned is that it's probably going to be more important than I thought to move our hearing ahead, move it closer and maybe into the end of January instead of February because GARB is moving so fast. I think they're moving fast because they want to get as many people into the fold before anyone can get a good record and try to get an injunction against them. The biggest and most dramatic evidence that I came across because of the people that have been so good there in keeping videos and things are the videos of the fires in the trucks. I saw one that was just absolutely devastating. And the only reason that it was videoed is that two guys driving down the road saw it happen, and it's on YouTube, but not on the main media anywhere.
Well,
that's a public safety issue that we really need to press.
Well, I just don't understand why that's a problem at all. I mean, the trucks going down the highway and actually catching on fire while they're delivering goods, I mean, but at least the air's still clean, isn't it?
The thing that disturbs me a little bit about all of the reasoning of CARB is that when the truck catches on fire, as you'll see in one of the videos that we'll put up tomorrow on our website, the smoke that came from that truck is bound to create more air disc quality than all of the particulates that would have come out of the truck without the filter.
Well, I guess the fact that the filters cost $20,000 and they don't work and they cause the trucks to catch fire is really not an issue with CARB. Is that what you're saying?
Well, apparently not, because I spoke with a witness on Friday. Yes, on Friday, who presented to each member of the board a complete report on these fires and an engineer's complete report on them, and yet nothing has happened about it. So they have knowledge of it. It's not as though they're sitting and not seeing any of these things. They have knowledge of it, and so far have done nothing about it except increase enforcement.
Well,
and I just think that's completely irresponsible.
Well, what's the average truck? I mean, there's a lot of trucks on the road. Is this just a very small percentage? Is it a time bomb waiting to explode? I mean, what's going on exactly with that as far as the numbers?
I think, and with numbers right now, I'm not in a position to say what percentage. I would imagine it's a small percentage. But somewhat you can relate that to 9/11. A small percentage of the people of New York were killed that day. A small percentage of the buildings went down. But when public safety is at risk, and you know that every one of those trucks out there is a potential bomb, and some of those trucks out there are school buses, any risk is too much, particularly when you've based your rule on false science, on science that means nothing.
They don't actually even work in the first place, do they?
They do not work, and we have a witness who is a maintenance person with the Department of Transportation of California who testifies that it keeps him in job security and the other maintenance people. Because when they fit one of these filters on a truck, they know that it's coming back in a couple of days and will be down for 3 days.
So this is
because the trucks just don't run effectively with them.
So it's costing them more fuel, and it's also so what this really is about, in my opinion, and this is a power grab for the totalitarians down there in Sacramento who don't really give a crap about our economy as much as they give a crap about retaining their control.
Sacramento and Washington, D.C., because don't forget, CARB is the stalking horse to put into effect this rule that was developed at EPA. EPA has held back on the rule with the other 49 states, waiting to see how well California can enforce it.
Well, wouldn't it be great if the government just shut down and they hadn't passed the budget? I mean, then they wouldn't have any funding. And wouldn't it be great if Congress actually got a spine and started impeachment proceedings and quit funding all this crap?
If I thought prayer did anything at all with regard to politics, I'd be praying every night for the shutdown of the government.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
You know, and I'll just get off carb just for a second. The ambush of the New York police officers yesterday in New York, I think, is an outreach of the non-interest in the White House and by the Attorney General in the assaults that are going on police officers. I think that's a deadly, deadly danger to our security in this country.
Well, and the
same with the EPA rules. There's no concern about public safety and health. It's a matter of power. It's a matter of shutting down one of the important transportation links between rural areas in this country.
Well, I mean, these guys are masters at the useful idiots equation, as far as that's what Lenin said, was basically you just have to tell the lies, like our last guest said, big enough, long enough, and by the time everybody figures out they're lying, then, you know, it's too late. And I think that's what's going on here. There's a definite agenda across the board by the statists and the Keynesian, whatever you want to call these guys, government, to basically just control everything, and it doesn't matter if the economy tanks or not.
I finally just said the other day, and I appeared on a show and said it, the Stand and Fight Club is going to just openly oppose Agenda 21 at this point. I've tried not to do it for years because I focused on my clients, and so many people start yelling conspiratorialist when you talk about it, but it is. I can show you pages in the Agenda 21 document that relate to exactly what EPA and CARB is doing.
This is about liberty. This is about liberty, because without liberty, nothing else is going to work at the end of the day.
That's the only thing that has caused this country to remain as strong as it has, as long as it has. In the history of the world, this is the only country that ever was formed on the concept of liberty, and formed by men who believed that God had created a special service in them to create this nation.
Let's talk about the Stand and Fight Club a little bit here. What's going on with that? I haven't heard a lot about that.
Well, it's because we just started it again about a week or 10 days ago. I was about to retire, because, you know, you can only do so much coordination. Everywhere we've used the coordination process, we've won. But we're only winning in 101 locations, and the federal government's running over everybody else. And I'm getting old. And a couple of people talked me into reviving the old Stand and Fight Club, and we started a new website, and it is www.standandfightclubinc.com. Now, that's very important, because we formed it as a profit corporation. And the reason we did, instead of nonprofit, is that I do not have to reveal the names of anyone who contributes to this club, because it's profit, because I'm an attorney. Under the old nonprofit, people's names had to be revealed, and there are a lot of people who want to give to this fight who don't want to be known by CARB and by EPA. So we started it, and our goal is to raise enough funds that we can have a trial team to fight each of these battles. Right now, priority number one is CARB, and following it will be the Chesapeake Bay, where they're trying to stop oystering and crabbing in the bay.
I want to make sure everybody understands that there's two websites. There's standandfightclub.com. That's the old website, evidently.
That's the old one.
Okay.
That's the old one.
So we want to make sure everybody gets to standandfightclubinc.com. And that's the new one.
That's right.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, that's the new one. Yep.
So, you know, I guess we're just all conspiratorial nuts, huh? I mean, but in my opinion, this is all treason from the top down. And these guys, you know, are committing treason on a daily basis, and there's nobody to hold them accountable at this point.
You're on the right track. You know these. You both understand what ICLEI is, don't you?
Absolutely. Yes. That's the cities have all banded together worldwide to implement Agenda 21.
Yeah.
Have you read the contract that the cities have to sign?
No, I haven't.
You really should. If you have a friendly member of some city council, get them to get you the, or I'll get you a copy of the contract. In that contract, they pledge to honor treaty law ahead of that of the United States.
So that would circumvent our Constitution if they...
It does.
Yeah, because treaties, they're supposed to be subservient to the Constitution, and you can't make a legal treaty that's going to override the Constitution if the Constitution is valid, I'm assuming.
And what treaties are create international law, and so that pledge is that international law will be held above the Constitution.
Well, you know what...
Now, to me, is that treason?
Yes.
It is indeed.
Well, that's the definition of treason, and that's why I totally believe that the person in the White House, I don't even know if this guy's an American citizen, quite frankly, and I know that sounds, from all the media blasts, that's nuts, but, I would not be surprised at anything at this point, and the media has covered up so many different things that it's just absolutely off the charts, and I'm not throwing that out there as much as I'm saying something's wrong when you've got no investigative reporting on anything at all.
I think that the people have to rely on stations like yours, stations that get inside the news, that talk about things that the quote popular media won't talk about. It's to their advantage not to talk about it, because when you see the press conferences of the president, you see that there are some special people that always get to ask the questions. Well, do you think they get to do that if they ask penetrating questions?
No.
Or if they ask the hard questions? No, that's not how you get to be favorites.
Well, and what's wrong with having a big worldwide government that's going to control everybody from the top down? I mean, that's sort of the narrative, is that we all want, I mean, we need a global society. We're all living together in harmony, and, the trees and
everybody will be better and be more happy and everything if we do
that. Rainbows and lollipops. Yeah. It's all going to be good. I mean, and isn't that what Agenda 21 is about? You know, other than the fact that they might implement Sharia law or something, but,
That's what Agenda 21 is about. As a matter of fact, Agenda 21 calls for, and there is now a bill in the United States Congress that sits there for four sessions, called the Wildlife Corridors of the United States. And it sets aside corridors across the country where people will be removed and moved off to the urban areas. And that's what they're trying to do, is clean those corridors out. Now, the idea of the corridors is for animals to migrate from Canada to Mexico and Canada to the Yucatan. Name one animal today that migrates that distance. It doesn't happen. It's an absolute fraud. And the purpose of it is to meet that goal of Agenda 21 of moving people into urban areas, into closely confined areas. And what's the purpose of that? Control. If you get people in cities, what big city in this nation does one party not control? The President of the United States is elected on the vote of 14 cities. And if you look at those blue states and the red states, you can count the cities. There's one or two big ones in each of the blue states. Now, when you get them into the urban areas, then what have you got in the rural areas? You've got all of the natural resources of this nation. You've got the timber. You've got the forage. You've got oil and gas under the ground. You've got gold and silver and all the hard metals that China wants. All of them. We have uranium. We have uranium. The only country in the world that produces nearly as much uranium as we do is Russia. When the Secretary of Interior tried to close down the public lands in Arizona to uranium mining, he guaranteed that we would have to import 70% of our domestic uranium from Russia. Now, you put all those things together and look at the time that Agenda 21 became international law, 1992, and you start putting together all of the other things that happened from that time on, the ecosystem plans, the memorandum of understanding, the executive orders, the President's Council on Sovereignty. we began to implement Agenda 21 in this country.
Wow. So, man, at the end of the day, if you're all moved, I mean, if everybody's moved into the cities and there is nobody out there in the rural areas, isn't that give the government complete control? Because how are you going to eat? How are you going to produce stuff to eat?
That's exactly right. I had a professor at College of Idaho who said years ago, I didn't know how prophetic he was, that the reason this country had remained safe and secure is that we could produce our own food, we could feed our armies and our people.
Well, that's
our manufacturing was so effective we could turn it over into material for war in a day, and we were such a broad country that they couldn't get inside to make double fronts that we had to fight. Well, our agricultural production's going by the day.
Yeah,
we really don't have anything now.
Well, there's,
and we don't have any manufacturing to speak of that could convert. And with the NAFTA superhighway that we were able to stop in Texas, there would have been a roadway from a Chinese port in Mexico clear through the nation with no U.S. customs on it.
Well, and I think
all the way along.
I think the tide is turning, Fred. I really believe that. I think people are starting to wake up. I think the pushback is starting to come from a lot of different areas. We're not getting any mainstream press, but, you know, people are starting to wake up and get alternative news sources, in my opinion. And I think we can still stop this stuff. And I think it's going to get to a point where it's about just, I'm not going to do it, whether it's paying taxes or, I mean, we're going to go into a total non-compliance mode, in my opinion, at some point here when it gets so bad that people have to wake up.
Well, and the coordination process that I use, that's exactly what I've tried to do, community by community, because I think local government, where people still care and people can listen to shows like yours and get the news, I think that's where we're going to be able to stop it. And the second element are the Tea Parties. I think the Tea Party movement has got to, I think every Tea Party member ought to go out and find 20 more.
Well, I think the Tea Party's morphing, and they've been a little bit more subtle about what they're doing. But I assure you that behind the scenes, whether you call them Tea Parties or not, there are activists that are getting more and more and more involved.
And that's what we have to have. They've made a change. They may not see the change, but they've made a change since I said years ago that I didn't think they'd be effective. And I've apologized for that every time I've ever spoken to a Tea Party meeting.
Well, we can't be right 100% of the time, Fred.
No. I remember in radio, I was the first one to hear an Elvis Presley record, and I listened to it. And when the other announcers came in, I said, this guy has no chance to succeed.
And then he became the king.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't stay in radio either.
Well, now we have a king in Washington, it seems like. I mean,
we do.
He no longer operates under the rule of law. I mean, whether it's the IRS or any of his agencies. That's why I really believe the government needs to be shut down, and let's just keep the legitimate functions of protecting us from foreign invasion, the Army, Navy, Marines, and so forth, you know, that have been, you know, slighted, and the police force. Look what just happened with the police force and the division.
I know. It's just absolutely. And I agree. He's using memoranda now. He's using executive orders, but he's also issuing memos to the departments telling them how to implement laws. How to implement them in a way that wasn't intended by the Congress.
Well, absolutely. And then they're not being held accountable for the laws that they aren't following. The IRS is a classic example under this Lois Lerner thing that just happened. And they circumvented their own rules delaying the approval of a lot of the Tea Party stuff for the, purposely intended to slow them down or stop them altogether. And I'm looking at a headline right now from Yahoo Finance. IRS head says budget cuts could delay the tax refunds that are coming. And it's the same old stuff, you know, don't cut my budget or we'll punish you somehow.
That's exactly right. That's right. It's the government has run amok. I used to love that saying, and I couldn't use it very much, but I can use it now.
Yeah, they are definitely out of control. And a lot of people at the local level, you know, like this last election here at the city, I think that the people who won the election here in the city of Reading were all the government workers. They actually voted more than the rest of the population. We're still looking to get the demographics on that. But I believe that the government has to, you know, get to a point where these guys start losing their pensions and their paychecks before they're going to start realizing that they have to start changing their vote and vote for people who are for liberty and the Constitution.
Oh, did we must have lost Fred.
Maybe we lost Fred. Well,
the NSA got him.
The NSA got him, yeah. The NSA, was it the NSA or the SHN or Homeland Security?
One of those.
FBI.
Between all of our guests
CIA,
today, I'm sure they got us.
GED. No, that was another thing.
All those alphabet soup.
We're down to 2 minutes, yeah. And I believe that you local people better figure it out here at the government level, because you're basically being bribed out of everybody's liberty. And if you don't start changing your votes and start voting for people who are going to stop spending all of the money and start voting for people who are going to run a budget tightly and pare down the government services and start having reasonable compensation for your retirements and your paychecks, guess what? Everything's going to happen, and you're going to lose it all anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's a...
And again, to the people out there, it's time to get involved, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, we keep saying that, but at the local level, you know, both of our guests have talked today about getting involved at your local level so we can make a difference.
We're down to about a minute, I think, and we want to... I think Fred's back on the phone.
Yes.
We want to say thanks for coming on, Fred, and maybe we can have you back pretty soon, and we're just about out of time, so make it quick if you've got anything.
I really enjoyed it, and you know, what I will do is keep you up with where we're going on the hearing out there, even
that
if I just
great.
Call you and let you know about it so that you're aware of it and can keep your listeners up.
That
all right, very
wonderful.
Good.
You
thanks,
have
Fred.
A Merry Christmas, and thanks for coming on.
Remember,
thank
amateur...
you.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Fred.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A dire warning from Baltimore Police Union President Gene Ryan a day after 2 New York City officers were murdered.
If certain people, certain politicians and political leaders are putting gas on this fire, like I said before, I believe it's a powder keg. If we don't get a handle on this, it's going to explode.
Ismael Brinsley, the man who fired the killing shots and then took his own life, had posted a vow on social media to kill police in retaliation for recent police killings of black men. Today, several black leaders denounced the murder of the cops. What to do about North Korea? President Obama is considering how to answer the communist enclave's cyber attack on Sony Pictures. A U.S. official says the Chinese are being consulted, too. A separation is being seen between Beijing and Pyongyang.
When we had the third anniversary of Kim Jong-il's death just recently, the Chinese weren't even invited. And it's significant, I think, that the Americans have felt able to ask the Chinese...